This is Dave Glowatz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Taking Advantage of TIF Ignorance that appeared in the Reader on May 7, 2009. This article talks about some elderly residents on the far south side who were scared by a mailing allegedly from the city that described some new development in their area under the rubric of a new tax increment financing district. And it's the proposed North Pullman tax increment financing district. And Ben, you do explain at the end of your article a little bit about what TIF districts are for the uninitiated. And also I'll direct our listeners to our November 1st, 2007 interview, which is our first interview in which we gave a primer on tax increment financing. So people can go to that historical information.
Is it primer or primer?
It depends what part of the country you're from.
Oh, okay.
I think in the Midwest, it's primer. The online version of your article and the print edition both have a map that I guess was pulled from the document that the elderly residents received. I have here a more detailed street map showing the tax increment financing district. As you say in your article, it's around 103rd, which is an east-west street, and Cottage Grove, which is a kind of a southwest running street. And the district apparently covers the former Ryerson Steel plant. Would that be this area over here on the east side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It goes roughly from up here, 103rd Street, all the way down to almost 110th, maybe.
Yeah, I forget the exact address.
Is this area the part of north of 103rd Street? Is that part of it? Do you know?
I don't know.
This TIF district has some interesting appendages. It's got an appendage that goes all the way west on 103rd Street, just a corridor, and another one that runs down Cottage Grove to the south. And then it sticks out over past the Ford Expressway to pull in some of this, what looks like green space, to the east.
By the way, anybody who's interested in this TIF district, my favorite city body, the Community Development Commission, will be holding a hearing on it Tuesday, May 12th. There's still some tickets available, but they're going fast for that hearing.
They're going to be scalped, I understand.
Yes, that's a joke. If you want to know more specifics about this proposed TIF, whatever the city's willing to tell you, they will be said at the May 12th hearing.
So the article talks about what I would call panic peddling, where an area that is probably going to undergo some new development, the residents of that area get taken advantage of by speculators who want to scare them out of their homes, come in, buy the homes for cheap, and then sell high when the area becomes more valuable. I saw that when I was a kid, you know, on the west side in the 60s. So it seems like it's a fairly common thing to happen when redevelopment is looming. Have you seen it specifically in tax increment financing districts before?
I've never seen it in this way, where a document that's ostensibly an official city document is distributed. So this is unique as far as I'm concerned. But there have been other cases where property owners have been visited by real estate agents who let them know that, you know, what's the use of fighting? The city wants your property. Throw in the towel, give it up. There's no point. I think about the one thing that the public knows about TIFs is that somehow or other they're related to losing property. In other words, that the city has the authority in a TIF to seize property. Now, the city has the authority, if it wants to exercise that authority, to seize your property virtually any time.
Eminent domain.
And they have to give a larger public good that could come out of seizing your property that would overcome whatever private property interests you have. Okay, if there's a greater public interest served, that public interest must be served. Now, when they create a TIF, they're taking one step closer to exercising eminent domain because they're effectively stating that there is a greater public good. In this case, the redevelopment of the Ryerson Steel factory. That's why people, even if they know really nothing about the TIF program and don't want to know anything about the TIF program, do know that it's not always a good thing to have the city put your home within a TIF district. Most Chicagoans don't trust their city for good reason, although they keep electing the people that run the city. That's another subject I know you don't want to go down. So they don't trust the city. They know that TIF leads to eminent domain. And so it's just a matter of time, I believe, before some wheeler dealer operative who wants to play upon that fear that people have of TIFs, of eminent domain, of losing their home. And so this is what happened on the south side.
And there aren't that many homes in this district as we look at it. A lot of it, just from this aerial Google Maps photograph, shows it is largely the Ryerson Steel plant, a big swath of the area next to the Bishop Ford Freeway. But along the west side, looks like it's completely residential. people are sitting ducks.
Yes, they're sitting ducks. Now, the city will tell you that the reason they put those sitting ducks, I mean homeowners in the TIF district, is so that once the TIF starts collecting money, the city will then use some of that money to help these sitting ducks, I mean homeowners, fix their homes. So that's the city's stated reason. Because, you know, they only institute TIF programs to help the little people of Chicago. That's why they have the
TIF. That's been a recurring theme.
Yeah, that's every TIF. It's like, how can we, let's design a TIF that we can help people even more, okay?
In your May 4th blog, you said that the proposed North Pullman TIF district might be a candidate for a good TIF deal. Do you still believe that?
Or yeah,
do you still think
might.
That?
I mean, might's the key word. This gets at, you know, if I have a list of all the things that interest me about TIFs, the list, let's say it's 100, this is like the 92nd thing on that list that would interest me about TIFs, which is where people will ask me, you know, well, Ben, you always say critical things about TIFs. Say something nice about a TIF, which is, I always find that kind of funny, you know, like say something nice about this wretched program. But anyway, the program in principle has a purpose when it's not completely abused, as it has been in Chicago, and that obvious purpose is to generate development in blighted low-income communities that need subsidies. That is a worthwhile goal. This is clearly the Ryerson Steel Plant, a blighted area that needs assistance if we're going to turn it around. So a TIF could be a useful tool. I'm sure there's some way the city will ruin this.
What is one of the most obvious ways they could ruin it?
Well, the obvious way they can ruin it is to take the money that was intended to turn this Ryerson Steel site into tax-producing land and spend it on the Olympics. Spend it on something that has absolutely nothing to do with the Ryerson Steel site. Or just let it sit vacant for, I guess that would be benign neglect. Just siphoning tax dollars that should be going to the schools and the parks, collecting it into this vault where it does no good to anybody.
So the key thing here would be to keep an eye on whether or not there's actually a plan that develops for redevelopment and how quickly it gets implemented.
And also the third thing is look and see what they build there and whether it merits a subsidy. If you come in with a Walmart, I would argue that it doesn't deserve a subsidy. Walmart's one of the wealthiest companies in the world. Why do they need a handout from the city of Chicago to build? If there's a market for them, there's a market for them. They should build there. If there's not a market for them, then they shouldn't get a subsidy. I would argue that if we give a subsidy to build a Walmart or a Lowe's or a Target, then you're just stealing business from the business strips that are nearby, the commercial strips, that have TIFs, by the way, on them to help them. So you're taking money that's intended to revive neighborhood strips, and you're using it to develop businesses that will undermine the neighborhood strips. So you're further undermining the whole point of this wretched program. And so I would say that would be another way they could screw it up.
I think we'll leave it at those. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks again.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.